We're going to jump out of our series on end time prophecy, the King is coming, and we're going to be talking about labor this evening, labor for the Lord. That is going to be the title of our message here this evening, labor for the Lord. If you have your Bibles, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, please. I don't intend to be incredibly long, since my head is hurting, and I want to cough at any moment. So we'll do as best we can to get you the material here tonight and be a blessing. You pray for me as I give this message here tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse number 1. Bible tells, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Reminds me of that, our theme last year. We preach Christ, amen. And we don't preach ourselves, we preach the Lord Jesus Christ. So they were laboring for the Lord, this first century church. If there's anything a real church requires, it is real labor, amen. The church needs real laborers, genuine, hard, wholesome workers in the church. As you read through Acts and the epistles of the New Testament, it's easy to see the labor of the apostles and their desire to see churches planted and people saved in their region. Now go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, please. I'll have you jump around a little bit here tonight as we do our Bible study. 1 Thessalonians, in chapter number 2. Look at verse number 9. We'll read this verse and then we'll pray here tonight. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you into his kingdom and his glory. And so our key verse there is number 9, laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto you. We preach unto you the gospel of God. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. Thank you for those that are here, Lord, and they want to learn from your word, and they want to receive something here tonight. I pray, God, they'll receive a blessing from thy word. Help me as your messenger. Pray, God, you just help me be able to concentrate on the notes here tonight and be able to deliver this message. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Paul had a willingness to pour himself into the work of the Lord. It bears testimony to how worthy the Lord is of our labor in the local church. The Lord is worthy of our labor. Amen. He is certainly worthy of the labor that we do here. Labor for the Lord is not reserved just for the pastor and the staff and certain people that think you think that they got it. Amen. The labor is for Justin. Amen. The labor is for Eddie. No, the labor is for every single one of us to labor in the things of the Lord. It's not just for the pastor. It's for every single Christian to labor for the Lord. No matter how insignificant our area of service may seem, God sees and will reward us for our work for him. Hebrews chapter number 6, verse number 10 says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do ministry. He said he hasn't forgotten about you. He hasn't forgotten about you. Your work and your labor of love. Amen. When we labor out of love, God says, I know you. I remember you and I know what you're doing. Keep it up. Keep laboring for me. Yet as tremendous of an opportunity is to serve the Lord, sometimes we get our values confused, don't we? We may enter into an area of ministry and service and in church, and we get all excited when we first start doing it. Oh, we get so excited, become a new Christian. But over time, our focus shifts and our enthusiasm tends to wane, doesn't it? And it becomes like real labor. Like, man, this is laborious. And it's not as exciting as it was when I first became a Christian. Man, I'm laboring for this thing. What we saw as a privilege, we now see as a burden. Anybody ever been there? You start feeling like it's a burden, man. Go take the deposits to the bank, man, or something. Yeah, I got to do that again, right? But we got to refocus ourselves and realize we're doing this for the Lord. We're laboring for the Lord. We're doing these things for the Lord. We're cleaning that toilet for the Lord. Amen. That sounds weird to say. But it's for the Lord and His work. Whether you have been serving the Lord in the local church for many years or a new Christian just entering an area of service, it is vital that you recognize and the honor it is to be involved in the church in this area of service and labor. If you take your Bibles, go to Psalm 84, please. Psalm 84. I want you to notice verse number 10, Psalm 84. I love this verse. The Bible says, "For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." Amen. I'd rather be an usher at Crossview Baptist Church. Amen. I'd rather be, it's really not the most glamorous position, I guess you would say. The Bible sort of looks at it like you're like, I'd rather just be a doorkeeper and greeting people than to spend one day in a wicked place. I'd rather be serving in some capacity than to not be serving. Many of us are identified by our vocation. You say, "Oh, what's Jerry? Oh, Jerry's a sailor, you know, or something like that, or so and so's a cable man, or you know that person's a mechanic, or a plumber, or whatever the case may be." Yes, we have our vocation, but really, we should be identified just being followers of Lord Jesus Christ. That should be our title. I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm known as a follower of Jesus before I'm a police officer or whatever. You know, I am a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I want to be known for. In fact, I don't even like talking about my other job. I just want to be known as a faithful Christian and someone who loves the Lord. So we need to be identified with that. The greatest and most eternal work we do is what we do in the service of the Lord. It's eternal. It lasts forever. You're getting rewards in heaven for the things that you do here on this earth. Whether you're serving in the nursery or picking up somebody to bring them to church, or you're cleaning the church here, or you're setting things up, or you're killing the gopher outside, it's all for the glory of God. Amen. You say, killing the gopher is for the glory. Yes, it is. Amen. Because we don't want our kids to fall in those holes and twist their ankles. And so it's for the glory of God. Whatever we're doing is for God's glory. We should count it as an opportunity and a privilege to serve the Lord. Real labor for the Lord includes the mundane as well as the glamorous. No one says killing a gopher is glamorous. Amen. Cleaning the toilet is not glamorous. You know it's not. Picking up the vomit. You know, someone vomits in the hallway, a kid or something, or whatever. That's not glamorous. But it's necessary. It's needed. This type of service is needed. And it requires a heart for the Lord. You have to love the Lord. You have to have a passion for the church. You want to serve in these capacities that no one sees and you're not going to get any credit for. It's thankless jobs. Local church ministry cannot take place without local church labor. You know, many don't even think about what it takes to have a service take place. Most of us will come and just show up and like, oh wow, donuts are here. Amazing. How did that happen? We didn't even consider that someone's purchasing those and taking their time and driving over there, putting the fuel in their vehicle and taking care of that. And there's someone has to get here early and turn on the air conditioner and get the lights on and unlock the building and get things ready for service. It has a lot of moving parts to get a Sunday service just to get going. There's an order of service that has to be created. The songs have to be picked. A message has to be prepared all week long. Or messages, Sunday school, the game for Sunday school, the songs. I mean, everything. It's just a lot that takes place. Most of us don't think about it and sort of take it for granted. And, of course, that's fine. You come to receive what God has for you. But there are things that that take place behind the scenes to make this happen. And it starts really on like Saturday, right? People come, and we got people who are cleaning the church, and we got people here, you know, soul winning. And that's part of it too. You know, we're going out there and preparing the hearts, and we're doing visitation also on Saturdays, and during the week we're talking to people, saying we're encouraging you to come to church, and it's a week long effort to make this thing happen. I want you to see here. You need to recognize your role. Or didn't notice every Christian is to labor for the Lord. Paul began this passage on labor in the local church with a reminder that it is a role entrusted to us by God. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. We'll look at that. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Recognize your role. Notice verse number 1. Therefore, seeing we have this, what? As we have received mercy, we faint not. So, this role of service began at salvation. Notice the first word of 2 Corinthians 4:1. What is it? What's the first word? Therefore. Anytime you see therefore, you see what it's there for. It's referring to something else. It's telling us that something previously was mentioned. So in the chapter preceding, chapter 3, and notice verse number 6. This is what's there for. 2 Corinthians 3, verse number 6, the Bible says, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So what is this message of the New Testament? What is this message of the New Covenant that we are supposed to be taking care of? Brother Justin. Amen. Which includes what? Exactly. What is the gospel? That's true, Justin. Amen. Death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our ministry. Our ministry is to share the gospel with others and let them know about the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. That is the gospel. The word for ministry in 2 Corinthians 4:1 right there is the root word where we get the word deacon from. Or servant or waiter of tables, right? It indicates that we are to be servant-hearted and looking for and meeting the needs of others. We are supposed to be looking out for other people and trying to meet their needs spiritually, if we can. But because we're naturally selfish, we're prone to want to be served rather than to serve. That is our natural instinct. How many would say amen to that? I want to be served. We all naturally want to be served. That's why I talked about we show up and just give me the service, right? I don't want to care about what it took to get the service. That's our natural reaction. But God has called us to actually be the ones serving. Mark 10:45, we find that Jesus Christ himself saw his chief purpose to serve. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. To think that God in the flesh came down, and his main purpose was what? To serve others, to minister. We are to do that too, amen? Our main purpose should be to minister to people. From the moment of your salvation, God had a ministry already waiting for you. Did you know that? God has a ministry waiting for you. A ministry that he knew would perfectly fit you. And if we're not serving and utilizing that ministry that God has already ordained for us, that is a shame. We should be serving the ministry, doing what God has already called us to do. I love what Ephesians chapter number 2, verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." You said, well, that's not how you get saved. You don't get saved by good works. That is correct. You do not get saved by good works. But when you are saved, you do good works because you are saved. You serve the Lord. You do the works of God. You're already saved, so you're working for the Master. That verse says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." He's already ordained that we would do it. Each of us are given ministry opportunities. Some of us are spiritually gifted in certain ways. We are. That only you have. I don't have, maybe, or Erica doesn't have, or you know, Justin doesn't have, whatever. You know, we all are a little bit different. We may all have some of the same gifts or similar, but we're all gifted differently. Take the time to read Romans chapter number 12 and look at the spiritual gifts that are listed in there. And 1 Corinthians 12 as well, they deal specifically with spiritual gifts and their distribution when you get a moment to do so. But at the moment of our salvation, God gave us specific gifts. We need to be using those gifts. Amen. We need to be using them here in our church. And I'll be honest with you. We need to have more people serving in the ministry here. There's only a handful of people. We're literally, I mean, like on one hand, that really does everything around here. We all can get involved and do more. Do more. And so he wants us to be stewards of these gifts that he has given us. He wants us to be great managers of it, you know. He's given us the gift, and I want you to steward that gift and use that gift that you have been given. D.L. Moody said, a good many are kept out of the service of Christ, deprived of the luxury of working for God because they're trying to do some great thing. Let us be willing to do the little things, and let us remember that nothing is small in which God is the true source. Amen. So every saint is to be a servant. And every member is to be a minister, right? It's not just me to be the minister. We're all ministers. Our role as laborers for Christ begins at the very moment that you were saved. So if you've been saved for 30 years, you've never taken a ministry, shame on you. I'm sorry. That's a shame. And if you have not serving and you've been saved for a long time, you don't do anything around here, you need to really check that. Only by God's mercy we find that this ministry is possible. It's only by his mercy. Can you look at 2 Corinthians 4, 1 once again? It says, "As we have received mercy, we faint not." We're not going to give up. Charles Spurgeon noted, if we give God service, it must be because he gives us grace. We work for him because he works in us. That's why we work for him. Indeed, we need God's grace if we are to serve him, because human effort and human energy will simply fail you. You're going to wake up and not want to go out soul winning. You're going to wake up and not want to go do the soul, clean the toilet or cut the grass. You're going to not have the energy. You're not going to want to put the effort in sometimes. So you must rely on the grace of God and his mercy to get you through that, to stay focused on it, because your energy will fail you. One of the paradoxes of ministering to others is sometimes you'll have to minister when your heart is even heavy. You probably never know that I'm carrying a burden most of the time. But many times when I'm preaching, I'm carrying a burden. Somebody in the church or something going on in my personal life. And you may never know that. I don't let you know that. I just have to preach the word of God. But understand, when you're ministering, sometimes you'll have to do it with a heavy heart. And the thing is, you don't want to just be like, oh, my heart is heavy, I can't serve, I got to stay at home.
Sometimes you're going to have to push. Now, you need to meet your needs, and you need to lick your wounds and get better. But to understand there's going to be a time, sometimes you're just going to have to push through that and keep on serving despite your feelings and despite your emotions. You just got to keep on serving. Serving Jesus. And Jesus will help you to get through that time when your heart is heavy. You have a broken heart. Only the grace of God can comfort and sustain us to get through that. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, please. Notice verse number 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. God understands what we're going to go through some things. But he really wants you to use you to be a blessing to other people in your trial. That's what he's saying right there. Who comforteth us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. So he's going to comfort you, and you're going to say, no, God got me through that. And I know he can get you through that, sister. He got me through it. Brother, he's going to get you through it. He comforted me, and he can comfort you. That's the idea of the script. That's what Paul's telling us here. We're going to go through a trial, but there's really a purpose in that we are to comfort others as we were comforted by God. So serving others doesn't negate our need. We have the need, amen. We have a need to take care of ourselves. But we are commanded to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what he tells us to do. Grow in the grace and in the knowledge. So you'll be able to get through a time like that. The Bible says to him, be glory both now and forever. Amen. That's 2 Peter 3:18. Our role as servants can expand and reach as the Lord expands our knowledge of him and our experiences. We get more knowledge and more experience. We're able to help other people because I've been through that. Oh, let me help you. But we must spend time in prayer and in God's word if we are to first have received this comfort and grace so that we can give it to others. You got to spend time in prayer and in his word. Hudson Taylor, a missionary to China, made a profound statement. He said, I used to ask God to help me. Then I asked if I might help him. I ended up by asking him to do his work through me. As we grow in the Lord, we learn more and more of our inability to serve God without his work in us and through us. Oh, we need him. You cannot serve in the ministry without the Lord helping you. I've done it. I've gone in the flesh soul winning. I've knocked on doors in the flesh. I wasn't walking in the spirit, but I tell you, it was not fruitful. And it's better to be filled with the Holy Ghost and be walking with him when you're going to be serving other people. Every member of the local church is to be a servant, a laborer, do a work for the Lord. Whatever roles you might have in your life, a mother, a parent, an employer, an employee, all those things. But the most important thing is that you're a child of God with a purpose. That is the most important thing, despite our other titles. In every other relationship and in every other aspect of life, seek to serve the Lord by serving others, by serving others. So we find here, Paul preached the gospel. He made himself available as a servant. 2 Corinthians 4:5. Once again, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants of for Jesus' sake. It's one thing to declare yourself as Christ's servant, but it's a totally different realm to declare yourself a servant of others. It's great. You should be a servant of Christ. But to be a servant of others, man, that's on another level. But it's a required level. It's required. In Scripture, that's what Paul is telling us there. It's required. There was a missionary to Africa. once asked if he really liked, someone asked him if he really liked what he was doing. His response was shocking. He said, "Do I like this work? No, my wife and I do not like dirt. We have reasonably refined sensibilities. We do not like crawling into vile huts through goat refuse. But as a man to do nothing for Christ, he does not like. God pity him. If not, liking or disliking has nothing to do with it. We have orders to go, and we go. Love constrains us," he said. "Love constrains or compels us to do it." So we have a significant challenge ahead of us. We need to give people the gospel. And this labor is not about us. It is about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. This labor is about him. It's all about him. Those who serve in the local church are often called upon to do tasks they do not particularly like to do. And I understand that. And, you know, that's just going to happen sometimes. Amen. But that's okay. We're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think nursery work is like changing dirty diapers. It's not something you get excited about, right? A poopy diaper, woo! You know, nobody gets excited. But you're doing it for the mother. You're doing it for the. You're doing it so they can be comfortable. They can be in here and listen to the message without dealing with their poopy diaper kid. So, amen? Nobody likes mopping muddy floors. No. But it's all for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter number 6. Let's look at that one. Almost there, ladies and gentlemen. We'll look at Hebrews and we'll go back to 2 Corinthians here in just a little bit. If you want to keep a finger there. Hebrews chapter 6, and let's look at verse number 10. "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." I love that. He hasn't forgotten about us. When you start getting weary, maybe you need to look at that verse. He hasn't forgotten about you. He hasn't forgotten about you. You know, ministry is not just what happens on the platform. It's so much more. It's not what happens on the platform or behind a pulpit. No, ministry is for every Christian. And if we're going to be a real church, we need to have real laborers who invest on this thing of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when you're serving, realize that's a part of it, spreading the gospel. If people can be comfortable and not be worried about, you know, their chair is dirty or the floor is dirty or whatever the case may be, we're helping in the presentation of the gospel. Because they're able to be attentive and listen to the message. And that's why it's important to give to the Lord as well, his work as well, because that money goes in and we're able to buy more things and distribute more tracts and buy more materials and bring in some missionaries and pay them a speaking fee and fix the air conditioner and all these things. And so it's all about ultimately getting them the gospel and equipping the saints, right? We're equipping the saints here tonight. You're the saints of God, and we're getting you equipped for the work of the ministry. So as we conclude here tonight, maybe you see yourself here in one of these categories. Maybe you don't. Someone once identified a variety of Christian servants. Some are like wheelbarrows, not good unless pushed. Some are like canoes, need to be paddled. Some are like kites. If a string isn't kept on them, they fly away. Some are like kittens, content when petted. Some are like balloons, full of wind and ready to blow up. I like that one. Some are like footballs. You can't tell which way they'll bounce next. Some are like trailers. They have to be pulled. Some are like neon lights. They keep going on and off. But thank the Lord for those that are like the North Star. They're there when you need them, dependable, and they're loyal. We need some North Star Christians. To have the heart to serve faithfully, our service must be motivated by our relationship to Jesus Christ. That's what will motivate you. If we serve for the appreciation or the praise of people, good job. You're going to get tired. Amen. You're going to fall out of this thing because people will lose heart and they will eventually quit. But if we serve because we're motivated for the right reasons, man, you can keep going and going like the Energizer Bunny, right? Amen. Just keep going and going and going and going. Then you take a vacation and you keep going and going and going. That's what we need to do. Let's look at two more verses tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 14. The Bible tells us, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we are all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Amen. Who are we supposed to be living for? Who are we supposed to be serving? Jesus, because he died for us and he rose again. So when we consider the love Christ showed when he poured out his life for us, man, that pales in comparison to changing a diaper. Shouldn't matter, right? And investing our lives in people, that's what it's all about. Considering what Jesus Christ did for us. It's all worth it. If we start a transportation ministry, we start picking up people around town and spending the money towards fuel, my goodness, great. That'd be wonderful. I'm stirred for that. And I hope we get to do that. That was on my list a couple years ago. We never really obtained that, but I would love to get our name on a van, 12-passenger van, Crossview Baptist Church, picking up little kids, bringing them to church, giving them the gospel, letting them get saved, amen? Because guess what? They're getting all kinds of worldly stuff 24/7. They need all the Christianity and the Bible that they can get and around godly people. And so I can't wait till one day we're able to serve in that area. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians 15:58. Finally, we'll end with this. Invest our lives into service for the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15. And when you're there, say amen. Okay, let's read verse 58 all together. The Bible says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. In the Lord. Who are we doing it for? The Lord. Amen. And so let's pray. Let's ask God to help us here tonight. Father, thank you for your word. And dear God, we need servants of God to really understand the need to labor for you. And to do that because we love you. And we realize what you've done for us. And I pray, God, for your special blessing on our time remaining. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.